The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Audio. This is the, I don't know what I put the title as, the WWE Elimination Chamber 2012 review show. This is Jeremy. Joining me is Kevin. Hello.
Woo-hoo.
Yes, that was Kevin. And it's, we're going to do exactly what the title says. We're going to give our thoughts and review the show.
Yep, and considering the time frame, we're going to try and keep this relatively short.
Yep.
Although I can never promise anything on this show.
Yeah. I mean, if we both wasted $55 to watch the thing, we need to review it. So.
Yeah. Well, that is the other upside to mine. I guess that's the only upside to only getting it once. I pay $5 less.
Oh, well, good for you.
Yeah. So it's only $50 since they only have it from 8 to 11, and I don't get the replay.
Hmm.
I think that's a pretty decent one. I mean, I guess every now and again I've recorded the rerun.
Yeah.
But I that hasn't been very often.
Yeah.
It, you know, like maybe once or twice.
I'm just thinking that may be part of the problem with this show too. I guess let's just start with overall thoughts on the show since it's kind of how we're going anyways. I think you can kind of tell where I'm coming from. It wasn't a bad show. I can't remember what exactly I told you earlier today, but there were no talking points coming out of it. There was nothing, there was no pizzazz, no real angles, big angles to get people talking. It just was, you know?
Yeah, no, and, I think I mentioned this to you, is that to me, just the whole, the card in general was pretty predictable.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like it's almost bragging. We're like, oh man, I picked all these finishes. A, it's wrestling. B, it's wrestling. C, there was only 4 matches, so it wasn't that hard.
I think when it came to the, prediction part, you know,
right.
I kind of figured, the winners would be, to be honest, I kind of thought Big Show would win, in some sort of flukish thing, but then lose it relatively quick.
Okay.
Just so that there weren't, that both, champions retain their titles, basically. I wasn't expecting that. And I know you're going to disagree with the hot potato sort of issue, which I'm not going to totally disregard. But Punk losing to having Jericho win it, I would have been fine with that too. But again, I mean, there weren't too many, like, obvious winners or contenders.
That was the biggest thing this year is that it is nice that they're kind of showing the new guys, but it's also just such a giveaway with their company and how rarely they go outside of their little box that, you knew that somebody wasn't, going to get it. I mean, that's what made it so predictable.
Yeah.
It's just like, nope, these guys are being pushed. These guys aren't. Like, you don't really get that much of a surprise in any regard.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when the big surprise is that both the champions kept the belt, it's kind of strange, really.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing that they can do is that next year when Elimination Chamber comes around, remember last year was the first year that both champions retained their title.
Right. I guess we can get into that a little bit later. But I don't know. It's a definite thumbs in the middle show. And I guess, aren't we supposed to, like, I guess, do, like, our thoughts on the overall show at the end? But anyway, bother.
Yeah, we're trying to keep it short.
Yeah. So let's, in that respect, let's jump right into it. First match. This one, the order of the matches surprised me. This one being the bigger surprise.
Yes.
The WWE Championship was up first. Miz, Kofi Kingston, Chris Jericho, R-Truth, CM Punk, and Dolph Ziggler. You know, everyone came out, got in their pods, blah, blah, blah. You know, Jericho was going to be last because he won on Raw.
Yeah, I was a little surprised, honestly, that they didn't play that up a little bit more than they did.
Yeah. I was, too. I figured, well, they kind of did the taunting thing every once in a while.
Yeah.
But that was really it. I mean, they seemed to make a bigger deal out of Kofi Kingston being in it and how he was an afterthought and, you know, all that sort of thing. And like, wow, look at Kofi still in the match. Wow, Kofi's on a roll. Kofi's doing this. And here's some more bad offense. And here's some more bad offense. And, oh, my God, he's going to hurt himself. He's going to hurt this guy. I mean,
yeah, well, he had the because I was just rewatching. I saw someone making fun of the Miz on Twitter. I'm like, oh, have I missed his botch spots? And I'm like, I now that I've just gotten done rewatching it as we record here, I was like, oh yeah, no, he did fuck up a good chunk.
The Elimination Chamber, like the cage itself, is such an oddly shaped thing.
Yeah.
Rob Van Dam, remember, tried doing a frog splash, just a simple frog splash off of the top of one of the pods, and he damn near hit his head on it. And, you know, bouncing around in there, you've got that the hard grate on the outside. So it's, you know, there's a big chance of really messing yourself up. So it almost seems like sometimes they overcompensate for it. Compensate for it, not overcompensate. Just to make sure they don't hurt themselves, which is fine.
Right.
That's why this match has always seemed awkward to me.
Yeah, no, I agree, because what Kofi, his second big spot was jumping off the top of the pod, and because he can't get any height on his jump, he's got to kind of do this like little weird like run push off and then mm-hmm. kind of look like he's exploding.
Yeah.
Off the top of it. And Van Damme had the same exact problem, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I think Rey Mysterio is about the only one that really adapted well to that, like climbing the cage and jumping off that and all that sort of stuff.
Well, it helps when you're 5'2" also, instead of, you know, yeah. nearly 6 foot. Like, you know, true. When those other two guys are like a good half a foot taller.
Yeah, true. Yeah, but I know exactly what you're talking about with that Kofi dive. You also have to remember, and as they played up at the end, that's not a solid surface.
Yeah. You know,
so when you do that, you really don't have a choice but to just fall on people. You know, you don't really get a chance for that much of a springboard off of it. It just looks awkward most of the time, and it's, I don't know.
Agreed. Yeah, no, it looks awkward. Like, they should kind of eliminate that, or they need to raise the dome area so that, you know, those guys can get a little more, you know, can jump a little bit more off of it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, unless they don't want them to. Just to avoid, you know, any risk of furthering a risk of injury. Because, you know, there were some points, I think it was Kofi and CM Punk, where Punk grabbed his knee because it looked really bad how he came down on it.
Yeah,
and it was just a really good sell job. I mean, I'm sure it hurt, but
yeah. Well, the thing is, though, is you're kind of confusing. Well, at least to me, I think you're confusing something. Is that all those spots from the pod go into the ring? So they're going to the safer surface. The times that they've been injured, and they actually did. The announcers did a good job of selling how bad the metal areas were that were around the air, around the ring itself.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, if they raised it, they might be able to stay away from, you know, those spots where they do. Because, yeah, that's when Punk held his leg. and they started talking about the hit pointer, and there were a couple other spots that guys just looked like they came crashing down, whether it was on a shoulder or a hip or something, you know, just kind of sideways, and it looked uncomfortable.
Yeah. What'd you think about the booking of the match? Like, people coming and going, you know, the order that they were either, you know, allowed in, got eliminated. I mean, R-Truth was the first one to go, right?
Yeah, R-Truth was first one to go. Kofi was the next one. And then... then Ziggler. Ziggler.
No, Kofi was near until the end.
I'm sorry, because...
Yeah, it was Truth, then Dolph.
Yeah, then Kofi, then Jericho.
Miz, yeah. Oh, yes. Then Jericho, because he was beating on Kofi. Yeah. And then, yeah.
Because that was just to set up that angle of Jericho not losing. It just seemed kind of awkward.
And didn't it kill the momentum of the match?
Yeah.
Because the crowd just seemed like, what's going on here? Like, they didn't know how to react to it at all.
Yeah, well, and that's just another problem that they're having with Jericho, is that people just want to cheer him.
Yep.
And I didn't notice that as much last night as I did just during the replay here. It's just like, yeah, people cheered him when he eliminated when he eliminated Kofi. Mm-hmm. And they cheered really loudly when he eliminated Dolph.
Which would be nice if it was because it's Dolph, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's I was thinking that, but then it's like, yeah, it's probably more just because people really want to cheer Jericho still.
Yes, that's what it comes down to. Because I think Jericho's just regarded as like the old guard, if you want to.
Yeah.
He's like the legit guy that came in compared to all these other queefs who just aren't over. Kofi's not over. The Miz is no longer over.
I wouldn't say Kofi isn't over. I mean, you can call him sloppy and all that other good shit, but he gets a better reaction than most people.
Well, yeah. Consistently,
everywhere.
I know what you're saying. He may be over, but he's not taken seriously.
Yeah.
You can possibly do that, you know?
Yep.
I mean, people like cheering for him, but when it comes like the bigger dudes, it's like, nah, that ain't going to work.
Well, that, and I mean, another one that goes into it is you can tell that he's not going to get anywhere in the WWE. I mean, they have the same opinion that we do. They get him out there because he riles the crowd up and he can do some cool looking spots. Whether they're sloppy or not is immaterial to them, but he's never going to get to that higher rung because he is that sloppy.
Well, I think with him, a heel turn is in order. I think he'd be a better heel, but obviously the offense would have to change, which would be nice. Maybe he'd learn to ground him a little bit, you know, figure out how to do shit. But, you know, whatever. I think they like the kids like him too much. So, what about the placement of this match? I know we kind of went over the order real quick.
I was just surprised because Raw is more important than SmackDown. So anytime it's on before the other one, I'm not surprised. And then, you know, I don't even know why I was kidding myself into thinking that Cena and Kane wasn't going to be the main event when they had been the the closing segment on Raw two or three different weeks out of the build-up for Elimination Chamber.
Well, see, and I think things would play out differently with a different order of matches. That's why I brought this up, and that's why I kind of glossed over the Jericho injury angle real quick. If you have that as the last match of the card, okay, I think the Jericho angle plays out better. And it would leave people wanting to tune into Raw tomorrow. Like, wait a minute, what just happened? And it kind of, you know, it kind of killed the crowd. It was like a come down moment. Well, having skits and whatnot in between didn't help, but it didn't give them much to get back up for. You know, it was just Miz and CM Punk, and no one's taken Miz seriously, just like the Kofi thing. But I think at the end, you would have had a little bit better of a happy ending. And I'll talk about the reasoning more a little bit later, but they ended it with a gimmick match, like a straight-up gimmick match that didn't take place in the ring. So what they could have done was had this, you know, all your actions contained. Everyone's focus is right back in. I mean, they could have let off with the SmackDown one, then had your shit, then John Cena and Kane, then the Raw Elimination Chamber match.
Gotcha.
You know, just to give them the happy moment home, which I guess they did with John Cena, of course, but your entire focus would be back in. It just didn't seem like they put things in place. Excuse me. They didn't put things in place properly. And then, because it didn't make any sense that they did, they showed Jericho backstage and hurt. And then they never went back to it.
Right. Yeah, I'd forgotten that they had gone to the back. They showed him holding his neck.
Yeah. And with that, like, just totally distant face or whatever that was supposed to be. But then I, you know, yeah, the video that they provided with him talking, like, the talking points. They had a, sorry, I just lost my train of thought for a second there. Can't imagine why. I'm sorry. Here we go. They put the video out and on the internet, which is kind of what we were talking about, I think it was Stunt Granny 175, how they're using the WWE site as a tool instead of putting it on the pay-per-view. Like that Chris Jericho thing with where it was placed on the show, That should have been on the pay-per-view. You know, they should have gone back to him live, you know, or whatever, backstage, and had that then. So that you had, like, a little bit of, like, wait a minute, what's going on? And have them go, well, we'll figure out what's going on tomorrow, I guess. You know, and I know you don't want to use a pay-per-view to pimp your show tomorrow, but when you're showing a bunch of video packages for your next pay-per-view and talking about Raw and all that, I mean, it's kind of turning into that anyways.
Yeah, and the other thing that would have been nice about airing that at the pay-per-view just would have been the fact that no, they needed the time. Like, it ended at 10:47. I mean, I guess that isn't bad because it's after a quarter till.
Yeah.
But, you know, it still was just another one of those things. Just like, oh, they had plenty of time. You know, well, if they wanted to throw that in there is more filler.
Well, cut out the Johnny Wooden segment. Cut out the Justin Gabriel Jack Swagger segment. You know, no one gives a shit about those two. Justin Gabriel and
Jack
Swagger.
Well, I mean, it was only a minute long. I mean, you didn't need to cut anything.
Right.
His rant that I put at the beginning of my grade posting there, it was a minute long.
Okay.
So they go to 10:48 instead of 10:47. Or, you know, if you've got to cut in and cut out, you add an extra minute. So they go to 10:49. I mean, they still had room to spare. I guess that's why I pointed out how early they ended. It's just like it wasn't a long segment. It didn't need to be a long segment.
Right.
There was no reason it couldn't have been on the pay-per-view, and they still would have had plenty of breathing time.
And in the fairness, we'll get to that in a second, but it just seems like there's a lot of lost opportunity here, and, you know, whatever, but it's not that they're doing it wrong, which, you know, I have a hard time to disagree with you or anybody, but they need to better utilize the backstage time. And the Johnny Wooden segment didn't make sense, but that wasn't what was next, actually.
No, we had Beth Phoenix versus Tamina was the next.
Then they had a video of John lifting weights with Seth Rollins, who I quickly decided to say he's gotten further in his career than Samoa Joe.
Hey, Samoa Joe's a tag team champion now.
Sure is. So, but yeah, there was a lot of the Florida guys and whatnot, and it was a nice package, whatever. But yeah, then Beth and Tamina were up next. Can't really spend too much time on this other than it was what it was. I mean,
yeah, no, that was the only one that I got wrong as far as predictions went. But it, I guess I just felt like after they didn't play up Karma at all,
mm-hmm.
that they were going to go with a title change and then just have a return match at WrestleMania just because of the way they're building Tamina up. And just okay. That's the way they do it with all the babyface females these days. It's just like, okay, you get 3 weeks of build up. You get to win the title for a little bit. We're going to get tired of you. Then you're going to lose it to somebody else that we build up for 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, yes. I didn't see it that way. I just figured they were saving off Karma because they've got 6 weeks now of build. Plus, you know, I figure that she was off TV because she just had a kid at the end of December.
No.
So they were going to give her a little bit longer, or middle of December, whatever it was. So you know, they were giving her a little bit more time other than the 10 seconds she was in the Royal Rumble. But it was just like to whet your appetite to let you know, hey, she's back. And maybe she's not going to wrestle right away, but it'd be awesome.
Right.
Yeah, the match was fine. And they kept trying to bring up the Piper Snuka thing. And it didn't make sense because Beth Phoenix is in no way related to Roddy Piper. I mean, is everybody going to do – well, never mind. There are no other women wrestlers, so who cares? The frog splash thing was fine. Or I'm sorry, the Superfly splash was fine, but
– yeah.
One thing that annoyed the shit out of me, Tamina kept pulling up her trunks when they didn't need to be pulled up. And I go back and watch the match.
Yeah, no, I just saw it.
Yeah, every time she does a move, she's pulling her fucking tights up. They didn't need to be.
Yeah.
You know,
she was a little disgusted by her own little baby fat that she has on
right.
the outside there.
Yeah, because she looks like a normal chick. Yeah, I guess so. You know, I'm not even.
Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah, I'm back to the whole. I'm fine with that. I like Mickey James. I don't care if she's.
Yeah.
Mildly hefty. That's just peachy by me.
Yeah, but no, Beth won. That's good.
Yep.
Then for some reason they just had a match with no heat. They decided to bring out Johnny Wooden. Then Del Rio makes a return, and I thought it was gonna be Ricardo, which would have been sweet, but it was Del Rio. He comes back after being off, and he endorses John Laurinaitis. It's like, you shouldn't be endorsing this character. They just aren't getting right. Del Rio's the kind of character, or should be the kind of character, that it doesn't matter who the GM is because he's got all this money. He can buy anybody off, buy anything he wants.
Oh,
you know.
Yeah, but I mean, they still haven't even played that angle part of it up at all. So I mean,
yes. Yes. Well, he is a Mexican aristocrat, so, you know, who knows how much money he really has. That doesn't even make sense.
He bought a $150,000 or $125,000 car.
That car was pretty sweet, though.
I'm
not a car guy. That thing was cool. So.
Yeah.
But then Mark Henry comes out, has the line of the night. A guy that weighs that much and is that strong and that big, and he says, Teddy Long, the near 60-year-old heart attack victim, whatever it was years ago, is a bully. That cracked me up. And then Christian makes a nice surprise return. They all back John Laurinaitis.
Yeah, it's
and then they do a picture.
It's one of those things that it's just like, it's so transparent. You know, you've got to think that the board of directors is a pile of dummies that shouldn't be running a multi-million-dollar company.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And
that's the major problem that I have with it. But it's, the heels banding together for the heel GM, and it's just like, right. Okay.
Okay, so who's going to bandy together for Teddy Long, and we can have our WrestleMania match or something like that. Like, that'll be the gimmick match for WrestleMania.
Oh, Jesus.
You know? But I'm just trying to think of, like, the three guys on Raw, and then, I don't know.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Maybe it's going to be a five-man tag, and John Laurinaitis gets his shot, he gets his WrestleMania glory. He actually gets to be in the match or something.
Oh.
You know, I mean.
Oh, yeah, they're going to, okay, yeah, Teddy Long gets, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so, because Teddy Long's never had his WrestleMania moment. John Laurinaitis never got his, but, I mean, not that, you know, there's that sympathy story, like Jerry Lawler's, like, he never got a chance to wrestle at WrestleMania and whatnot, so, I don't know. Just.
Yeah, no, it was a nothing segment that.
Right.
Just. And, you know, I mean, it's just like, okay, this is how you're using your kind of undercard guys. I mean, seriously, like.
The thing I did like, and I guess it's kind of, he's still in that he can't do any wrong segment, is Mark Henry. Like when they were doing the picture and him just going, I don't want to take a picture. Like, I just. What do you? I don't care about you. He clearly just doesn't care. Yeah. I thought that got a laugh out of me, but
yeah, you know. At least he's staying in character.
Yeah. After that was the SmackDown. Well, it was a backstage interview with Big Show about how bad he does at WrestleMania. I don't know why that's a point. I guess it's to make him pissed off because they keep saying he lost to this or whatever else. But then.
Yeah, he lost a sumo wrestler and a boxer. Now, if you just took those things at face value, wouldn't you say that's not so bad? A, isn't a sumo wrestler supposed to be somewhat in the realm of Big Show's size?
Well, if you take that at face value, like you said, then I guess whatever, but it was in a sumo match. Remember he had to wear that giant-ass diaper?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that part of it.
Yeah, it's like the casualness of the statement takes away from the actual facts of it. And the boxer had to use, you know.
A chain wrapped around his hand.
Yeah.
To get to victory. Yeah, no, if you just say it that way, it sounds bad. But it's like, no, he fought the sumo guy in his own match, and the boxer used an illegal chain to the head to win. Then you're like, oh, okay, whatever. He got screwed at WrestleMania twice then.
I mean, his first WrestleMania, he lost to Mankind. I remember all of us just going, what? Why would you bring him in to lose? But, all right. But, yeah, so they brought that up. But then, yeah, their SmackDown main event, Daniel Bryan, Santino, Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Big Show, and the Great Khali for 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And I put this on Twitter. Why was he in there?
That's why I enjoyed my grades today. I just put the Great Khali deserves a sentence and just kept on moving.
Yeah. I mean, I know that TNA's got like their Raka Khan. Is that what it is?
Rinka King, I believe.
Yeah, whatever. Oh, yeah. Raka Khan was Angle's bitch for a while.
Right.
And I know that they could have, you know, with him not being under contract, they could have signed him and done major business over there. And that's fine.
Oh, Khali's not under contract?
No, he wasn't at the time. He is now.
Oh, okay.
But it's like, okay, you sign him up and go, you can't do anything with TNA. But you don't put him in a main event slot. I mean, and I guess you don't want to damage Mark Henry that way, but why not, like, Jinder Mahal? I'm just tossing names here.
Oh.
You know, somebody else, but, ugh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to have someone in there for 15 seconds, you pretty much could have picked anybody else on the roster, really, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. This one got off to a rough start with Wade Barrett and Big Show. It wasn't technically terrible. It just wasn't interesting at all. Their 5 minutes in the ring was not fun. And I think that's where I found myself doing other stuff. It finally picked up once Cody was in the ring.
Right.
The Khali, whatever. The Big Show elimination caught me by surprise.
Yeah, I was thoroughly shocked when that happened. I was like, really?
Yeah, and I think what really saved everything was how Cody Rhodes played it up. It was a big deal. It wasn't like, yeah, I just pinned Big Show, there you go. They treated it like the big deal it should be treated like. So they got that part right. I mean, you know, regardless of how it was done, they still got rid of him, and that's a major thing.
Yeah, agreed.
But before Big Show was ousted, the spot where he broke into the chamber to get at Daniel Bryan, I thought it was totally unnecessary, but it was a lot of fun to watch. I mean, it was the classic heel, the swarmy heel, getting his comeuppance, because Daniel Bryan was just like backing him down, and then once he couldn't reach him, like going, come on, big boy, get in here, or something like that.
Yeah.
So when he started pulling the chains off, I was like, what the hell is he going to do? And then when he dropped in, I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool, actually. I mean, like I said.
Yeah, no, that was a fun spot.
Yeah. I mean, and he could have waited for the buzzer to go off, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's just one of those things where they didn't have anybody in this match that was a spot monkey. So you needed to do something that was kind of cool. And the other thing that I kept on laughing about, and I noticed this last night, is that when Barrett and Show were in there to start with, or maybe it was after Cody came in, they kept on tossing Big Show against the door, and the ref had to keep on adjusting the bolt to the door.
I noticed that too. Yep, I noticed the same thing. Like, uh-oh. Because, for those who don't know, that Jericho angle from the beginning, I forgot to mention this, that was taken from an actual, pretty much taken from an actual MMA event. Not UFC. It was one some smaller group. I think it was in Kansas City or something. The two guys, I don't know if you saw the video clip or not, the two guys are wrestling.
Uh-huh.
They hit the door and both spill right out the door and knocked both of them out. So they had the match was obviously called no winner. I don't even think they called it a draw. Just they threw it out because it broke earlier in the night, and they thought they'd had it fixed, but obviously not.
Oh, yeah. So, no, I did not know about that.
Yeah, so it was pretty crazy, actually. But no, and so that's why whenever they would adjust the door, I was just like, oh god, here we go again. It's going to be just because they already ran that angle once with the under. Well, no, I'm sorry, it wasn't an angle. But The Undertaker actually did fall out the door the one time, and he got lucky he didn't get hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So the biggest thing to come out of the SmackDown Elimination Chamber was the treatment of Santino. Now, I wish I could remember how you presented it to me. I think you said, what, you didn't buy Santino winning the match or something like that?
Right.
Something like that. Okay. If they would have built Santino up, like if they would have had this Battle Royal nonsense weeks ago, you know, when they announced all the chamber participants and, you know, obviously he was only in there because Randy Orton got hurt. I understand. Shut up. But if they would have run this exact same angle and kept building it and building it and building it over like the weeks, like, you know, have these goofy training things with Santino on TV instead of on a pay-per-view, you know, that people paid for.
Right.
Build some of it up. Build up that doubt that, you know what, it'd be kind of fun if he won. There's just something like that, okay?
Right.
But no, I never bought that he was going to win. Even when he hit the Cobra.
Right.
You know, the crowd went crazy, like thinking this was it, and I was just going, all right, and Elise goes, you're getting a little tense over there. I'm like, not really. And I was like, there's no way Santino's going to win this. Exactly. And
yep, Cayenne agrees with you.
So, but I mean, seriously, they could have had, like, build weeks on this. And, you know, and I know Randy Orton didn't get hurt till the last second, but it would have just been better with more time. Those near falls, I think I say they would have been epic or something like that.
Right.
that crowd would have been going absolutely insane every time it looked like he was going to pin Daniel Bryan. And they still went crazy, but I'm talking they would have gone even more crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he got one of the larger reactions, honestly, of the of the evening.
Yeah, but he always does.
Yeah, I mean, if they just treat him slightly more seriously in the ring,
mm-hmm.
They'd be okay. Like, you were talking about the build-up stuff. How about him just not job to everyone? Like, you can still have a comedy finisher, really, and still be a player. I mean, yeah. Mick Foley did it with fucking Socko for how long?
Yeah.
You know, and I know it's pretty much the same move, and they just did it at the Rumble there for them, against each other. But it's just like, you know, people are going to eat it up. Why not? Whatever. He doesn't need to be a main eventer. Again, it's another one of those, he doesn't need to be a main eventer. Why don't they just, you know, at least put him in the U.S. title hunter, whichever one's on mm-hmm. fucking SmackDown. I think. I see.
Yes,
Swagger was defending the U.S. title.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but, yeah.
You know, it doesn't make any sense. You know, like I said, it goes back to me, that one goes back to the, why aren't you building up the guys underneath some of these people? Because it would really just help your product as an overall whole.
Yeah.
Like, but I mean, selling that finish would be easy.
Yeah, and Santino's got that really remarkable ability to, I mean, even like, you know, even though pretty much realizing he's not going to win this match, that crowd still bought into it. Like, you know, and this goes back to the Royal Rumble when he popped up, last year's Royal Rumble, excuse me. He popped up and, you know, he had that face, like that crying look, like, oh my God, I'm about to win this face. And then he was doing it again last night too, when he hit the Cobra and his facial expressions. He understands how to carry himself to help to convince you that, yeah, you know, regardless of you not believing in me, I'm about to do this. And they could capitalize on something like that, to where it finally happens for him and everyone goes apeshit, you know?
Right.
I mean, that'd be kind of fun. I mean, I don't know. The crowd loves him. Even adults seem to like him too. Even like the hardcore fan guys like us.
Right.
Don't hate him. And really, isn't that just the measure? As long as they don't hate you, everything's fine. But then,
well, no, that would certainly lead into, to me, the main event, which was a comment I made during the grades there.
Yeah. All right.
Unless we wanted to wrap up the chamber match.
Yeah, I'm just going to wrap up the chamber, and we can skip the next match because who gives a fuck. But
yeah.
Was this – all right, and I said this on Twitter. Was that Daniel Bryan's best work? I mean – he took bumps like crazy. He wrestled like crazy. But the way he conducted himself, I mean, and outside of the yes, yes thing after winning, but when he saw it with Santino, the look on his face, the way he acted, I'm not saying that it was one of those moments where he all of a sudden realized and like, oh my God, he gets it now. But that's the point where it really kind of clicked. Like, he's going into like third gear or whatever. Fifth gear, whatever. Like, it's finally his time.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think to me that's another reason to keep the strap on him is that, and I forget what you were just trying to explain, but I started laughing in the middle of it maybe about 5 minutes ago, and it was because I'm seeing Big Show break into the pod,
mm-hmm.
and just his facial expressions were awesome because he's sitting there, he's taunting him at first. And then he's like, oh, and then he kind of gives him the old Morpheus come here. And then he kind of backs away from him and gets that concerned look on his face. Yeah, like, I mean, he's been good on the mic and his going back to the facial expressions, the guy seems to be getting that end of things now.
Yeah.
So it's just like there isn't any reason to doubt this guy because – you know, again, he was a great wrestler to start with, so.
Yeah.
You didn't really need to improve that.
Yeah, it's really going to be the size part. And that really comes from the Big Show and Kali. You take them away, and Brian's small, but he's not as small as it looks in comparison to those two monsters. But
well, and Henry.
Yeah, but
Henry's shorter, but he's wide.
Yeah. Well, but he even had like a decent match with Henry already, you know?
It's just
there. But yeah, I forgot what my other point was going to be. It's not important. then we get a backstage segment where Natalya farts again. What's his name? Hornswoggle says cottage cheese. Someone just blatantly called, Teddy Long blatantly called Vicky Guerrero ugly. And I was like, wait a minute, you're the face here. You're the good guy. What are you doing? someone said about an ugly dress, and I think it was an ugly dress or ugly something. Oh, it's going to get ugly here. And Teddy Long goes, well, I think it already is ugly in here, looking at her. And I was like, holy fuck, that was harsh shit. And then luckily, Justin Gabriel and Swagger both dressed to wrestle. Swagger beats him as he should. No one cares. We go on to the main event.
Yeah.
I tweeted during this match, remember when John Cena wasn't in the main event? and Dusty responded back, no, or LOL, no.
yeah, but then I was like, well, he wasn't on the last pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been in the main event in a while.
And, yeah, he wasn't Robert's in the main event at Royal Rumble, so, I mean, it was two pay-per-views at least.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hold on. The last one was the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. Well, Survivor Series, he was, what's it called? In the tag team main event that didn't matter.
Yeah.
But this is the only reason this match with The Rock could really stink. Cena and Kane are in the middle of a feud where Kane is doing horrible shit to Cena's friends. He's trying to get John to embrace the hate. Cena is acting like this is nothing. He's doing it again. You know, when it was him and Punk, it seemed like he got it. And he took it seriously. But then he started doing that little chintzy shit where, you know, he'd ask Booker T if he's in his fave five. And then he's asking people, hey, do you want to see this get violent or? You know what I mean? It should just be him serious because of how big of a threat Kane is. It should be serious, serious, serious. But instead, he's pausing to do stupid shit with people and.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I didn't mind that kind of little shit. I minded more that it was just. Kind of a typical Cena match, you know,
where he
kind of makes the comeback, he gets the big spot at the end, where he gets to finish the guy. And it was just an awkward end with tossing him off the off the ambulance. And then you had, like, 3 minutes or something where Cena's got to, like, and it was the right thing to do. Like, Cena just shouldn't jump down from the top of the ambulance, roll him up and throw him into the back of the ambulance. So that's the one part that it's hard to criticize. But that was another moment, just like Jericho, where it's just like, okay, he's won the match, but now we have like 3 minutes tacked on to the end of this thing to officially get Kane in the ambulance to end this. And it's so kind of awkward.
Yeah. But yeah, But even that end segment, that's what it should have been, actually. Cena should have tossed him off and then thrown him off the ambulance and then immediately got down to drag his ass out to put him in the ambulance to get rid of the threat that is Kane. Not sit there and celebrate like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. I mean, no. You got to treat somebody like that with a way more respect because of how dangerous he's supposed to be. And it just didn't seem like Cena did that at all.
Yeah, I guess the only reason I'm conflicted is the fact that he, you know, he's just saying that he never bowed down to the hate and all that stuff, and it, in a way, that proved it, along with the vignette that he had, but that was the other undoing, honestly, is that they were hyping Cena and Rock.
Right.
On the program before Cena's match.
Yes, like, indeed. They sure were.
That was the other problem with that being in the main event. Is that it's just like, okay, we're building up our next pay-per-view, but we are really, really, really giving away who's going to win this match next. You know, that goes back to what you were talking about really at the top of the show, the ordering of everything. Like, it made no sense to have that there if you're going to do those two segments and show Rock versus Cena at WrestleMania, the giant fucking logo.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, okay, you're like, you're really telegraphing that it doesn't matter to Cena, like, what happens here.
Yeah. But again, and that's why I keep going back to the threat that is Kane. They could have said, you know, Kane could totally mess this up for everybody.
Well, and they did say that it might be Kane against The Rock at WrestleMania.
Which makes no sense whatsoever, but...
Right.
Because we've never seen that before. Yeah, I don't know. It just, to me, it was just another John Cena, fuck this guy, I'm wrestling match. It's all self-serving. It's all about him. And, you know, I mean, you know, I came around on him. And it seemed, and now, but it just, it's like a reversal or reverting right back to it again. And it sucks. It just sucks.
Yeah. I mean, he can be fan friendly and, I'm just seeing the look on Daniel Bryan's face again, with just him and Santino at the end.
Yeah. It was just a great facial expression. It's like, I got this easy. And,
yeah, Santino has it right, too. He has a little look of trepidation on his face and everything, too. Like, both of them are just doing it right. So, okay.
I don't know. We did kind of forget the fact that Sheamus made it official. He's going after Daniel Bryan, but we had kind of already figured that one anyways. So, why bother mentioning it? Yeah, but overall, the show was just okay. It was not worth the money. It's not worth the replay money. I expected a better effort. And really, to wrap up the show, I know this isn't going to happen, but should WWE consider not having this pay-per-view anymore and just going straight from the Rumble, taking, well... I guess they'd have to take February and March off and then having WrestleMania. It's a possibility of lost money. But in the overall picture for WrestleMania, is it better?
Well, I would honestly put that in the category of anyone that mentions contracting teams in the NBA or NHL or doing something radical to some other sport, that it's just not going to happen because too many people are making money. So it's not even entertaining to entertain the thought.
Yeah. Well, but if you're losing money, if you don't make enough money out of it, ticket sales, I mean, satellite feeds, all that stuff.
The venue looks pretty packed here.
Yeah. Well, but I think the other thing, I think the only answer for that is to use this more effectively. You know, they set up WrestleMania with it. Great. But you had Christian come back, but in a nothing capacity. You had Del Rio come back, really in a nothing capacity.
Yeah, no, honestly, to me, this year, they've done the least to set up WrestleMania of any Elimination Chamber, if memory is serving me. You know, because, yeah, they officialized Sheamus, and they definitely, as we just pointed out, pimped Cena versus The Rock. But outside of that, I can't think of anything else they might have done. Like, I threw out that idea that maybe Big Show ends up taking on Barrett and Cody Rhodes since they eliminated him in joint fashion at WrestleMania, and they've been giving him hell about it. But yeah, I can't. Well, and Jericho and Punk, but that was another one that it was so there anyway that I didn't expect it to. You know, I didn't expect that to change. Hello?
That's funny. The thing just put itself on mute again.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I was just going to wrap it up. I think we said all we needed to.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the next pay-per-view is WrestleMania. Kevin and I will be doing our usual preview shows. And the review show is going to be pretty awkward because we have to figure out how to record this while we're in the same room together. So, since that didn't work out so well with TNA's, no, we did WrestleMania stuff last year. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I just got to remember to bring my microphone. So that'll be easy. But yeah. Thanks for listening. It's plug time. All right. Hang on a sec. All right, you can follow us on Twitter. We are at Stunt Granny. That's all of us. At DeFrango11, that's Kevin. Granny Maze is me. At Dusty Gebank, Eric's got one, whatever. You can email us, stuntgranny@gmail.com. You can leave a comment on this audio underneath the comment section. And then also, we are on iTunes. You can look for us as Stunt Granny Audio Show, or just Stunt Granny Show. Then you subscribe. It's free. Enjoy. Then you don't have to come to the site anymore, which I don't know if that's good or bad. I've never been able to figure that out. Follow Kevin on Twitter for all of you use the Stunt Granny account for TNA and other stuff.
Yeah. All wrestling capacities. I try to use the Stunt Granny address. Yep.
So don't forget, Sunday mornings usually is the TNA TNA audio show with Dusty Gibbings and Matt Steitz, or is Steitz?
I don't know.
I don't remember how to say it. I don't care. This is a horrible plug for the show. It's good, even though if I don't know how to pronounce everyone's last names. I'm going to get out of here. I'm Jeremy. Bye.
Okie doke. Well, you probably won't even listen to this by the time I do my Raw review, so enjoy the night, grandkids.
Well, read it anyways. He's going to do it. Read it. Stupid.